It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
They don't like concrete, so we'll give them steel. We'll build a steel barrier. Steel. It'll be made out of steel. It'll be less obtrusive, and it'll be stronger. Steel is actually more expensive than concrete, but it'll look beautiful, and it's very strong. We have a crisis at the border of drugs, of human beings being trafficked all over the world. They're coming through, and we have an absolute crisis.
We have an absolute crisis, so says the president, and so the government is still shut down. Sandy Rios with you on this Monday, and so people that are working for Homeland Security and others that make up something like 25% of the government are not receiving paychecks right now, and their next paycheck is this Friday, so the squeeze is on. This morning, I heard that Russ is one of the newest appointees to the Trump administration. Not appointees. He was finally confirmed through Congress. And one of the reasons that they held up his nomination was that he was an evangelical Christian. It was an amazing story. We mentioned it, but it's been a while and lots of things are happening. So Russ is now fully in place. He has, as I understand it, sent a memo to leaders of Congress spelling out exactly what it is the president is asking. And it's a very comprehensive memo. So we'll see what happens with that. We know that the Senate Democrats are, well, some of them, Senate Republicans are getting weak in the knees. I know it's a shock to hear that Susan Collins and Cory Gardner, Lamar Alexander, that champion from Tennessee, and of course Lindsey Graham and Joe Manchin always pushing for the Dreamers that they're trying to work their mojo and try to get some sort of a settlement. But right now it's still a standoff. And I guess, you know, just to boil it down, I was asked yesterday by friends of mine, the president has been, President Trump, has been promising this for 2 years. They held both houses of Congress. Why didn't he get it done? And I just had to say, because Paul Ryan would not allow for a vote. Neither would Mitch McConnell. The leaders of the Republican leaders undermined this president. So he really hasn't had any opportunity to do this. So, you know, it is a crisis on the border, in spite of what people say, in spite of how they want to just mull it over. Those guys that are serving down on the border are just working themselves silly in an overwhelming crisis situation with getting no help from the Congress. It's just kind of an amazing thing. And yet, of course, the way the media is reporting it, it's all the Republicans' fault. And it's just about Trump's ego. And I'm amazed at how Fox reports this. This is a battle of two factions wanting to please their base. That's all this is. President Trump is just trying to please his base. He doesn't really care about drugs coming off the southern border or diseases coming across or the humanitarian crisis or the potential of terrorists coming in from other countries. He doesn't care about that. He just wants to please his base. And the same thing with Nancy Pelosi. I believe that's true of her. She just wants to please her base because we know that in the past we have her on record supporting securing the border. So there you have it. Chris Wallace, in keeping with his snippy, hostile treatment of this particular subject, conservatives, I would say, by and large, the Republican Party. I had Sarah Sanders on yesterday, and they had an interesting exchange. Let's listen to the first part. Here it is.
Food stamps for 38 million Americans will be cut. Millions of people will lose rental assistance payments. And union leaders say hundreds of TSA workers are already off the job because they can't afford to get to work. President Trump thinks the border wall is worth all of that?
Look, the president certainly doesn't want any of those things to happen. But you know what else he doesn't want to see happen? He never wants to make a phone call like the one he made earlier this week where he spoke to Officer Singh of California's widow because an illegal immigrant came across our border and killed him in cold blood. That shouldn't happen in this country, particularly when we have things that we know can help prevent it. Every life, that's what sets America apart from every other country. We value life. It's what makes us unique. And the day that we stop doing that, even if it's 1, 10, or 100,000, that's when we stop being the greatest country on the face of this earth. Not only people like that, but we also have a massive influx of drugs that come across the southern border. 90% of the heroin that comes into this country comes across through the southern border, and 300 Americans are killed from that every single month.
Let's talk.
We have to look at it across the board.
Yeah, I, you know, we try to be logical with these things. We've got a real crisis on our southern border, and drugs are coming in, and yet people, their hair on fire, screaming, opioids, opioids, it's out of control. Look at the drugs, look at the gangs, look at the crime. And it's much of it is emanating from the southern border. But instead, we have people shouting, people are unemployed, people are not going to get their paychecks, and food stamp recipients will have to be, well, look, that's a serious problem. But why do we have this problem? And so do we then, does the president move ahead to open the government, reinstate those jobs? Nobody wants people to be working without pay. People who deserve it should get paid. No one wants legitimate food stamp recipients not to get their food stamps. But which do you choose? Because if we reinstate the government and all of a sudden the money starts to come to workers who are not being paid right now, and food stamp money comes to food stamp recipients, do you really think that Nancy Pelosi leading the House and that Mitch McConnell in the Senate, and you see the makeup of the Republican senators, are honestly going to give President Trump the money to secure that border after they get the government open? Really? Based on what incentive? And that's why this, it's just like the Homeland Security workers and others are being held hostage, and that's not a good thing. But what else do we do? We've been placed in this position by the inactivity, the failure of Congress to do their job. The only person that's standing between us and that massive immigration onslaught, and many more to come, by the way, reported in other South and Central American countries, preparing to come across our borders, preparing right now. How do we stop that? How do we stop that when our Congress won't stop it? How do we make ourselves safe? What do we do? So this is definitely a dilemma. There's no question about it. Well, of course, Chris continues his snark with Sarah with this. Let's listen.
Let's talk about the wall, because there is no question that there has been a big spike in the number of family units coming across the border. The president talks about terrorists potentially coming across the border. And here is Secretary of Homeland Security Nielsen. Take a look.
CBP has stopped over 3,000 what we call special interest aliens trying to come into the country on the southern border. Those are aliens who the intel community has identified are of concern.
But special interest aliens are just people who come from countries that have ever produced a terrorist. They're not terrorists themselves. And the State Department says that there is, quote, their words, no credible evidence of any terrorists coming across the border from Mexico.
We know that roughly nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists come into our country illegally. And we know that our most vulnerable point of entry is at our southern border.
I know this statistic. I didn't know if you were going to use it, but I studied up on this. Do you know where those 4,000 people come or where they're captured? Airports.
Not always, but certainly a large
number. The State Department says there hasn't been any terrorists that they found coming across the southern border from Mexico.
It's by air, it's by land, and it's by sea. It's all of the above. But one thing that you're forgetting is that the most vulnerable point of entry that we have into this country is our southern border, and we have to protect it. And the more and more that individuals know
they're not coming across the southern border, Sarah. They're coming, and they're being stopped at airports.
They're coming in a number of ways. I'm not disagreeing with you that they're coming through airports. I'm saying that they come by air, by land, and by sea. And the more and more that our border becomes vulnerable and less that we spend time and money protecting it, the more that we're going to have an influx, not just of terrorists, but of human traffickers, drug inflow, and people that are coming here to do American citizens harm.
So you heard it on Fox News Sunday by Chris Wallace. And so honestly, he knows, and he's assuring you, no terrorists have come across the southern border. There have been none, zero. He heard it from the State Department, filled with people who are never Trumpers, but that's who Chris believes. So let's talk to Deputy Chief Roy Villarreal. We played this clip last week. He's he's in charge of the Border Patrol agents in the San Diego district. Let's hear what he had to say, because honestly, Chris, of course, is much more trustworthy than Deputy Chief Roy Villarreal. So keep that in mind as you listen to this guy who obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. Let's listen.
The situation at the border is unprecedented. In my 30 years of working for the Border Patrol, I've never witnessed the situation that we're faced with today. We are being overwhelmed with migrants, principally family units and children, and then people that are from countries other than Mexico. In the first time in the Border Patrol's history, the majority of our arrests are what we call other than Mexican nationals, people from China, Bangladesh, India, and then, of course, Central America. But what we need along the border is a border enforcement system. There is no singular solution. What we need is a combination of factors, a border infrastructure, roads that provide access to the border, technology, ground sensors, night vision cameras, drones, and then, of course, wall or fencing to secure the border. It is a comprehensive system. It's complex, it's multifaceted, and what we need is an entire border enforcement system. And again, after 30 years of working in border enforcement, I can attest to the fact that walls, border fences do work. I was here in San Diego back in the late 80s and early 90s. We began putting up fencing in the mid-1990s, and that had a dramatic impact on the flow of illegal migration. I was in Yuma, Arizona in 2004 when we began to put up fencing. The same thing unfolded there. As soon as we put in infrastructure and fencing, you add technology and agents, it has a dramatic impact on that flow of illicit migrants, illicit narcotics, and it brings control to the border. The wall
Deputy Chief Roy Villarreal, he was talking about all these people from all these nationalities, some Bangladesh and other countries, but Chris is sure that none of them are terrorists. He knows, because he's assured us, because the State Department, I'm sure, the reliable State Department, undermining the president as often as they can. I'm not talking about Mike Pompeo. I'm talking about all the career employees at the State Department. They haven't changed. But Chris believes them, so it must be true, right? So nothing to worry about. Well, in regard to the wall, of course, we had an incident that happened last week, but I just want to play it because I need to. Freshman Congressman Rashida Tlaib from Michigan. She's the first Palestinian-American woman in Congress, sworn in with her family, with her mother wearing the hijab and her wearing a Palestinian costuming, was sworn in, of course not on the Bible, of course not on the Bible, of course not on the Bible. And of course, a red-blooded, true American, and the night she was sworn in, she flies to New York, and this is what she says.
And when your son looks at you and says, "Mama, look, you won," bullies don't win. And I said, "Baby, they don't. Because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the mother."
Yeah, Rashida Tlaib, we're going to go in and we're going to impeach the foulest thing you can think of. And of course, Nancy Pelosi says, that's just the way the president talks. I'm not a censor. That's what the president... Has anyone heard the president say anything like that in public discourse? If he did, I missed it. I've heard him call, Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, and I've heard him say some ridicule a lot of people, but I don't think I've ever heard that. But Nancy Pelosi and others, it's the president's fault. Of course. So here we have a Palestinian. They are not our friends, by the way, and now serving in Congress, she's the first Palestinian. She's the second female Muslim woman, and she demonstrates her love of country by saying that. So this is where we are, folks. And by the way, Kyrsten Sinema was sworn in. She's the first bisexual senator. Isn't that something? Aren't we proud? And she swore in not on the Bible, but on the Constitution, because she doesn't affiliate with any religion. So she couldn't be sworn in on the Bible. And then, of course, we have... Martha McSally, also sworn in from Arizona. And Martha, my understanding is that she's not straight either. So just thought I'd share those cheerful thoughts with you this morning. That's what's happening in the U.S. Congress. And I just think it's going to be interesting, don't you? So fasten your seatbelt. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk. Be right back.
Who said this? Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I was quoting none other than George Washington, our first president and father of our country, who said specifically that religion and morality are indispensable supports for our government and our culture. We're going to be going to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, in June and September. If you'd like more information on this, please go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We'll also be going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. If you'd like to do both tours or one or the other, that's fine. For all the information, again, June and September, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. We'd love to have you during these 2019 tours.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, Lord, please be with us.
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Peter Koh, and I'm a business major, and this is my junior year at the college. What I love about the athletics here at Truett McConnell University is the coaches and their side of trying to teach sports from a biblical mindset with sportsmanship involved, and it really changes the way that you pursue the game, not just passionately doing it for other people, but also for yourself and to glorify God in that, which is completely different from most other schools.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
It's always a joy to salute men and women across the nation who are doing their part to make America great. William Haley is one of those people. He's a deputy with the Madison County Sheriff's Office in Tennessee. The other day, he was driving along Highway 70 around lunchtime when he came across a homeless man. Deputy Haley stopped by a nearby McDonald's and bought the man 2 cheeseburgers and a Coca-Cola. But instead of just dropping off the burgers, Deputy Haley sat down, shared a meal with the man, shook his hand, prayed with him right there on the side of the road. A local resident saw the encounter and posted a photo on Facebook, and well, now here we are, talking about it on the radio. Deputy Haley says he would like to think that someone would do for him in a time of need, just as he did for that wayfaring stranger, a selfless example of how law enforcement not only protects, but also serves. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I thought her comments were disgraceful. This is a person that I don't know. I assume she's new. I think she dishonored herself, and I think she dishonored her family. Using language like that in front of her son and whoever else was there, I thought that was a great dishonor to her and to her family. I thought it was highly disrespectful to the United States of America. Yes.
All right, that was the president commenting on Rashida Tlaib's comments last week about the president being, needing to be impeached because he's a, you know, what, fill in the blanks yourself. And so, again, I don't remember the president ever saying anything as vulgar publicly. Do you? It's a very different thing to be caught on a, you know, Hollywood Access video or be taped off the record when you don't know you're being taped. I don't even remember what he said in that conversation, to be truthful. I just remember the terrible things about women, but I don't remember his actual language, or I'm sure he's capable of vulgar language. Most people that are not followers of Jesus are, you know, a lot of people, a lot of men. But publicly using that kind of language as the president described, is disgusting and degrading to all of us, and yet it seems to be becoming the norm. Well, at the southern border, which we've talked about so much, we have a very serious problem, and no one's been tracking this any more faithfully than my next guest. Jim Simpson is an economist. He's a former White House budget analyst. He's a businessman and an investigative journalist. His latest book is called Red Green Axis, Refugees, Immigration, and the Agenda to Erase America. But Jim has been writing on this faithfully, and he's been examining just what's going on at the border, like behind the scenes, who's paying for this? What's causing this? What's the goal here? And so I've asked Jim to join us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Sandy. Great to be with you.
Hey, this is an interesting, by the way, his latest article is highly organized migrant caravans are being supported by taxpayer-funded American groups and the UN, and they're using women and children as human shields. That's quite a title, but it certainly tells us what you wrote about here, Jim.
All yeah, right,
so
right.
When you look into who's behind this, so we've heard some things about this already. How can you easily explain to people who's paying for this and that it is highly organized?
Well, it's not easy because it's a tangled web, as it frequently is. You know, with the left, there's a lot of organization, first of all. That's a very important word to use when you talk about the left. There's a lot of organization, and they are all down with the same agenda. And so this caravan, I mean, we know that it was highly organized. We know that now, you know, as many of people have written about it. And Amy Horowitz went down to the right in and embedded with the caravans and brought back an amazing video testimony of what is actually happening. And it was posted by Judicial Watch. He was sponsored by Judicial Watch to go down there. And it's quite an amazing video. It's in the embedded in my article, and so I did some more research, going beyond the organization that is credited with helping the caravans, and it's an organization called Pueblos Sin Fronteras, People Without Borders. But it goes much, much deeper than that, of course, because this is just a small group in Chicago. And so there had to be more behind it. And, of course, there is. He found out, interestingly, that the United Nations is down there. Multiple agencies of the UN are down at the border. And, you know, the United Nations gets overall 20% of its revenues from the United States. And the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, which is the primary agency down there helping them, gets 37% of its budget from the United States. 37%. Almost half of its budget comes from the United States. And the UN was down there helping out in all kinds of ways, assisting them with medical services and teaching them what to tell people, what to tell the Border Patrol when they come to the border. And their stated reason, according to Amy Horowitz, was to poke President Trump in the eye.
Hey, Jim, and, let me go back just for a second. Let me underscore something you just said. You talk about the UN going down there, and you just said this, but I want to flesh this out just for a second. They're not just telling them what to say. They're telling them what to say in order to inspire sympathy, in order to grant to get asylum granted to them in the country. They're teaching them how to lie, how to say the words. This is the UN. I think of all the things you pointed out that they're doing. I mean, the mobile hospitals, you know, you could argue that that's a great humanitarian effort. Because we know there's so much sickness. Okay. Yep. But actually coaching them to lie to American Border Patrol in order to get asylum here, that's a bridge way too far.
Well, you know, it's actually the National Lawyers Guild that is training them in those things. And the National Lawyers Guild, as we all know, a lot of maybe the general public doesn't know, the National Lawyers Guild is essentially a communist front group. You know, they were founded and they're connected with the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, which was a Soviet front when it was created. So we're talking about organizations with very, very malevolent aims towards the United States. And we're not just talking about, far-left American groups. These are groups with international connections. And, I knew this from the very beginning that we were going to find something like this. Early reports said that left-wing groups in Honduras were behind organizing the caravans. And, this was also true in 2014 when the unaccompanied minors, quote-unquote unaccompanied minors, which were usually accompanied by families or people who were friends of theirs, were highly organized also and were told to come north. People don't just decide one day, oh, we're going to get up and we're going to head 1,000 miles to the northern border, or even better yet, we're just going to send our minor children by themselves to go north in caravans of thousands to the United States. They were even assisted and encouraged by the Mexican government. Advertisements that the Mexican consulate put out about what they could expect to get when they came to the United States. I mean, it's an amazing thing, and it is a deliberate attack on the United States. It is a nonviolent, well, it's somewhat
invasion.
Violent now too, invasion yeah. of this country, and
hey,
it's deliberate.
Jim, I think one of the things you cover in here is that, the visuals that we've seen, of course, were thousands of people trudging along, and they talk about it being 1,000 miles. And I've hinted at this on the air, but you have actual stats here, actual information about how they actually travel. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Well, according to Horowitz, they had caravan buses, and they were very well-appointed, luxurious buses as well. And I guarantee you, Pueblos Sin Fronteras didn't pay for that. That was very likely a UN-sponsored operation or some other large organization. There are many, many organizations behind Pueblos Sin Fronteras that that provided money, that get money from the government. For example, the Catholic Legal Immigration Network, the Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights gets 80% of its budget, very large budget, from the Illinois Department of Human Services. They received $15.3 million between 2015 and 2017. And those organizations support Pueblo and other open borders groups. So it's an incestuous stew of extreme left organizations that are supporting and organizing these caravans in a direct assault on the United States. And, the Democrats keep saying, well, we want border security, but we don't want a wall. And they say, we want technology. We want to use drones. We want to use cameras. But guess what? That's what they did when George W. Bush passed his border wall funding. Instead of putting up barriers, they used drones. They used cameras. And those things don't work. They may be able to identify when people are coming across, but the key thing is, without a wall, people come across the border, and then, by law, they can apply for asylum. And the problem is that once they have applied, they have to be granted temporary status in the United States, and they're given a court date, which, because there are is a million case backlog, they're not going to get their court case for, on average, 1,000 days. That's over 2 years. So in the meantime, they're free in the United States. And how many of them actually show up? Almost none of them. So the families, the illegal alien minors, who are frequently gang members in that age group anyway, and they just disappear in the country. And the Democrats know that this is going to happen, and this is why they are so dead set against putting up a wall, because a wall would prevent them from crossing the border into the country and declaring asylum. The Democrats would be out of luck, because what their goal is, and, you know, they're thinking long term, their goal is these people, millions of people coming across the border, have asylum status. They're in the United States. Most of them have disappeared, totally ignored their court hearings, if they're ever going to get them. And they figure that down the road, when they get a Democrat president elected, or when they get a majority in the U.S. Congress, they can pass blanket amnesty, and all those people will be turned into voters.
Well, and I have to say that what's happened in California then will be what's happened in the United States. There will be no longer any
exactly
choice in government.
Right.
Let's quickly, a couple of things before I have to let you go, Jim. It just goes too quickly.
Yeah.
We are hearing, Chris Wallace said with Sarah Huckabee Sanders, he quoted that this all these families are coming across, families, children and families. But you
yep.
say that it's about 90% men. So how? What's true here?
Well, I like the fact that you introduced the word compassion from the beginning, because that's how they sell everything. They sell everything on the mantle of compassion. You know, if you if you're object to transgender bathrooms, well, you're not compassionate. If you object to endless open spigot funding for welfare, oh my gosh, you're not compassionate. If you're not willing to let millions of people who have had such horrible lives in other countries come into the United States, well, you're not compassionate. And so they sell all this as compassion, but the reality of it is that we have, in this case, as Horowitz testifies anyway, about 90% are young men. And, you know, we saw that in Europe, where about 70%, and those are UN statistics, of the people coming up from Syria, from Africa, from all over the Middle East, were young, military-aged men. And we've seen what has happened throughout Europe as a consequence of that, the violence, the mass rapes, the entire thing is to destabilize. In Europe's case, it was to destabilize the West, and it was fronted by Angela Merkel, who everybody thinks is a Christian Democrat. She is a East German communist. She never dropped her communist roots, and she was opened the borders to Western Europe on the orders of Russia.
Yeah, Jim, hey, listen, in the minute that we have, a very interesting whole other conversation, last minute here. What's going on? What is the end game? Now, it is, yes, for Democrats, it's Democratic voters, but there's a deeper game here. Honestly, less than a minute here to answer that.
The deeper game is to transform the United States into a country that we don't recognize. That's the deeper game.
Yeah.
It is to dilute our society to the point where Americans who believe in America, who understand its constitution, its rule of law, become an irrelevant postscript.
Yes, and can no longer make that impact in the world that we're currently making. Just completely neutralize
exactly right. the
advance some very bad causes, which we don't have time to go into. But we're going to put Jim's article on our Facebook page so they can read it. There's so much more information in it than we could get to. Jim Simpson, thank you so much for joining me this morning and for your great work here. Thank you. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The latest government shutdown debacle is a striking example of why Congress has such a low approval rating. Congressional Democrats and President Trump are at a stalemate over funding for a barrier on the United States southern border. Interestingly, many of these very same congressional Democrats supported southern border barrier legislation not long ago. The Secure Fence Act of 2006 was passed with votes from several prominent Democrats, including then-Senators Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and current Democrat Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer. So what changed? The hypocrisy is astounding.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. On Wednesday night, Tucker Carlson put his finger on the problem with American society, the breakdown of the family. Here's how he put it. Both parties ignore the crisis in marriage. Our mindless cultural leaders act like it's still 1961, and the biggest problem American families face is that sexism is preventing housewives from becoming investment bankers. If you want to put America first, you've got to put its families first. Now, strong families begin with strong masculine husbands and fathers. Where do we get them? Well, Dad, you might be raising one of these leaders of tomorrow right now. My new book, The Boy to Man Book, is designed for the father of a 12-year-old son to read with his son and boost him on the glide path to maturity. You can get one today at afastore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio. Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products.
Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes, get the stains out and use the multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets, you're doing all of this and the money's going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry Products were developed by AFA supporters Len Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. National Security Advisor John Bolton traveled to the Middle East to clarify that President Trump has two important preconditions before U.S. forces will be withdrawn from Syria. First, Turkey must refrain from attacking our Kurdish allies there. And second, ISIS must be defeated. It's very good news that the U.S. government is determined to achieve these goals. Defeating such Sharia supremacists, whether those waging jihad under the ISIS banner or those like Turkish President Erdogan, who has supported ISIS, must be our purpose in the Middle East and beyond. To learn what that will take, all of us should review an indispensable explanation of Sharia and what its adherents are obliged to do to achieve our submission, produced in an excellent video-based course by our colleagues at Understanding the Threat. You and our leaders have a need to know. This is Frank Gaffney. Visit understandingthethreat.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I actually found out I was pregnant October 2nd. I was happy but shocked. And I went outside to tell the kid's father, and he was like, "You can't afford this." And it's like my feelings was forced to go another way. And everything was kind of taken away from me at that moment. And so some told me, just go to the free pregnancy clinic and just, you know, see if you're really pregnant. He didn't believe I was pregnant, and he didn't believe the baby was his. It was like anything to not want to have this baby. So I was sitting there and I seen the ultrasound and I just seen the baby. And at that moment, I wanted to keep the baby. She said, there go the heartbeat. There was another life that was inside of me that's growing. And I said, I can't make this life suffer because of someone else's decision or because someone else. And I feel that's a blessing for me to be a great mother to someone to teach them, because I haven't had that childhood. And I knew just from that point on, me having that baby, I'd be able to get far. The baby would be able to get far no matter what. No matter what comes my way. Matters if the dad be there or not. And that changed my life just from that ultrasound picture. Just me knowing that I'm going to keep my baby.
Wow, if that doesn't move you, then you're unmovable. Because that's the story of so many women who come to a crisis. That's why they call it crisis pregnancy. They find out they're pregnant, and let me just say that 42% of the time, a woman who gets pregnant or a girl does not want to abort, and a boyfriend is pushing her to terminate the baby. I would say that that's probably not, like the woman just said there, probably men are asking their wives to terminate babies. 48% of the time, young girls, their mother is pushing them to abort. And more than 80% of the time, though, if a woman who finds herself pregnant or a girl can get perspective on the baby and specifically see images of the baby through ultrasound, 80% of the time they choose to keep the baby. You know, the thing that also struck me about that testimony was the choice that she made, the honorable righteous choice she made at such an expense to her. She just said that she was willing to give up her relationship with the dad. He would have to go then, and she would choose to keep this baby. What courage. And I just am so moved by that story. Breitbart reported just last week that 41 million abortions took place in the world just in 2018. And that was more than died of cancer, malaria, HIV, AIDS, smoking, alcohol, and traffic accidents combined. That's how many babies were aborted in this world, as far as we know, last year. Well, Preborn is a ministry that is in the business of partnering with crisis pregnancy centers around the globe, around the country, and giving women the things, the equipment that they need, baby clothes. They provide ultrasounds. They give them count. They talk about Jesus, and they talk about redemption, and they equip them to not only sort themselves out spiritually, but to save the lives of their baby and take care of them. And so we are beginning today our partnership with Preborn, as we do all the time. We partner with them, and we're going to be asking you to help. And let me just make it real simple before I introduce our guest. The phone number to call is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go online to afr.net, and make your best gift. $28, by the way, will provide an ultrasound for one woman seeking an abortion. And again, that ultrasound is so powerful. They say that 80% of women decide not to abort their babies when they see the image. It's just amazing what difference that 4D machine has made. $140 will provide for five ultrasounds and reach five women with a message of life. And of course, five, you can do the math. Our goal is to save 2,000 babies in this campaign. You know, when's the last time you donated to a crisis pregnancy or to save lives for babies? I think sometimes this issue has become common among evangelicals, and maybe we've lost our urgency or fervency about it, and we must not do that. So this is a chance to change that. The phone number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. My guest this morning is Dan Steiner. He is the president of Preborn. He's also the current president of Crisis Pregnancy Clinic in Southern California, which includes the Hollywood Women's Center in L.A. And I could go on and on about Dan. He is a former businessman and graduated of University of Indiana, and he's brought his business acumen to this issue. And so, Dan, thanks for joining us this morning.
What a joy to do so, Sandy, and a very nice introduction to what is arguably the defining issue of our generation. You can say that, well, certainly information is a defining characteristic of the early 21st century, late 20th century, and that's true with everything at our fingertips on our cell phones. Travel maybe would be one of those, you know, traveling 600 miles an hour at 7 miles in the air, drinking a latte with 400 people on an airplane. But the most distinctive characteristic of our generation that has never happened in humanity until now on our watch, it's the destruction of 733,000 innocent little babies weekly, globally, by abortion. We're the abortion generation. We're not the generation with Hitler or the Civil War. And I'm just really encouraged that people like you with the megaphone of radio and AFR take a stand to do something about it. You know, it's one thing to say I'm against abortion and I think the slaughter of the innocent is a travesty, and yet quite another to actually do something constructive, as you're asking your guests to do by supporting free ultrasound.
You know, Dan, I have to say, I was a young woman not long after Roe versus Wade. I was living in Berlin, Germany, and I was sitting in what's called Berlin Brigade, and I was looking for a piece of paper. And I opened a drawer, and in that drawer were pamphlets on abortion, which showed the dismemberment of babies in utero, that the saline solution, the horrible things they were using. This was not long after 73, and honestly, Dan, this was all news to me. When I was growing up, abortion was actually a dirty word. We didn't even really know what it meant, but we didn't use it. And so I will never forget those images. I can think of it now, and it breaks my heart. It reminds me of the stories that people tell about seeing pornography, how that the image sort of sears their mind. That's what that did to me. And that's where my passion began to stop this. And I wonder, I'm curious about you, because you were a businessman. You were, in fact, the national director for Mayflower Transit Company, very successful. And now here you are, full-time, working, trying to save babies. Why? What happened to you?
Yeah, well, I had a close encounter of the best kind. Every morning I'd get up for 2 hours between 4:30 and 6:30 and fellowship with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, in prayer. And one of those mornings, as I was saying to him, I'm sure grateful for what you've done for me and giving your life for me, Christ. What can I do for you? And I think in that hour, I know in that hour, that he showed me his broken heart, the Lord's broken heart over every abortion. He sees everyone in intimate detail. We know in Psalm 139, it says that he knits them together in their mother's womb, and was supposed to be the safest place in the earth, the mother of the womb of their mother. These babies are being ravaged, as you've described, and he sees everyone, and it breaks God's heart. And I said, what can I do about it? And that set me on a journey to find out, like, what really works. I mean, you talk a lot about politics on your show, and it really daily proves its definition, which is the art of compromise, by the fact that abortion is legal in all 50 states today, hasn't worked, doesn't stop it. But what does is an AFR listener picking up the phone, dialing 877-616-2396 and saying, yeah, I'll sponsor $20 a month. I'll sponsor $140. I'll sponsor five. That will save a life. And that's what set me on the journey, is to find out what really makes a difference in this issue.
Yeah. Well, it does. I mean, obviously I've already described that this is an issue I know well, and I've been involved in it for so many years. And I remember, I think I said 4D ultrasound, right? That's the actual name of the new, it's not so new now, but that really revolutionized our ministry to women who were trying or thinking about aborting their babies, don't you think, Dan?
Well, particularly in the second and third trimester baby, which we had a woman come in here late last week. You know, she was 28 weeks pregnant. She's late-term pregnancy. Ran that baby up on the screen, and you can see its eyebrows on a 4D ultrasound. And, you know, she just nearly fell off the table when she saw how beautiful her baby was. So certainly the 4D ultrasounds will make a big difference. We use all kinds of technology. Honestly, the ones that we place the most are just the 2D ultrasound, Sandy, as well as the 4D. They're a $15,000 machine. We have a goal to place 40 of those this year. So we're looking for people, maybe a businessman that's listening that has been blessed in an extraordinary way that wants to make an investment in a piece of equipment that will last for 10 years, day in and month out, introducing for the first time mothers to see their babies. And when they do, as you said earlier, most of the time they choose life, 80% of the time. So really, ultrasound machines, ultrasound sessions are kind of the secret weapon of the pro-life movement. It's procedure, it's protocol, and Planned Parenthood centers across the nation, which are the nation's largest abortionist, Planned Parenthood. So no, they're not a reproductive health center primarily. They're an abortionist primarily. They profit on everything they do, especially the misfortune of women and trauma. But it's their protocol to make sure that their ultrasonographers do not show the mother their babies, because they know the power of that image will often lose the sale for them.
Yep. And so let me get practical again, because if you would like to help us, $28 will provide one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. You've already heard us describe the dramatic difference that seems to make. It's not a surprise to me as a mother, not at all. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women, and you can do the math for whatever you can afford. The phone number is 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can go online and donate at afr.net. You know, Dan, I'm sure you get this. You know there's a lot of criticism about men working in this industry. It's very controversial because what would you know? It's a woman's right to choose. What are you doing as a man telling women what to do with their bodies?
Yeah, it's really a sidestep to the issue. Killing innocent children is wrong no matter who's for it or against it. You know, it's self-defining. But, you know, pregnancy clinics across the nation are run by housewives and businesswomen and women of the church, primarily as volunteers, by the tens of thousands that stand beside these women, mothers such as my wife, Valerie, who's the co-founder here of the ministry, that's extremely pro-life, as you mentioned, because you're a mom. Yeah, that makes a difference. But you know what? I'm a dad, too, and there's nothing that is more important for a man than to stand in defense of the innocent in his own family first and then with others. And so I think the argument, as it is so often the case with pro-death, I won't call them pro-choice people, is to obfuscate the issue. You know,
yes, and Dan, also let me add quickly, I'll never forget when I was on the air in Chicago and I just thought I would try this. I did 3 hours of radio at the time. I just thought I'd throw this question out, I'd see what happens. So men have been affected by abortion. I figured I'd get one or two calls. Dan, the phone lines flooded as men called in and cried and talked about their babies.
Yep.
They remember back in college getting a girl pregnant and there was an abortion and they could do nothing about it, or they encouraged their girlfriend to do it. And they think about it every birthday. I could not believe it, story after story. It is their children, too. So don't give me this. Men should not have anything to say about abortion. By the way, the phone number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396. 30 seconds, Dan. Where's this money going to go?
100% of it, good news, goes to our clinics. We don't keep any of the money. We're trying to raise enough money to save 2,000 children here. 100% of that is tax deductible. 100% of it goes directly to our clinic, probably very close to one of you that are listening today. Please dial and help us, 877-616-2396. Be part of God's solution. Share the gospel and life with these young women.
All righty, you can go to afr.net, afr.net. Dan, thanks for having a very early morning for you on the West Coast. I appreciate you joining. Dan Snyder with Free Boy. My pleasure, Dan. We'll talk again soon, God willing. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.